Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Love you, Lord. We welcome your glory in this place, Lord, in this place. Glory to you, Lord. I was reading in Psalms, and I looked at a scripture in Acts. How many in here would consider yourself a saint?
And amen.
Did you know that the Old Testament were called saints? New Testament were called Christians. And I was looking in Psalms. There's a scripture that says, "This honor hath all the saints." And I was like wondering, what honor? So I just read. And first of all, it says, we are in Acts, it says that the, and when he had found him, this is, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So that's where we got our name Christian. But I was looking back in, I was reading in Psalms chapter 149. The last verse says, "And this honor hath all the saints." Well, listen to what honor we have. We have this honor. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints, of Christians. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. How many of you would love for the Lord to take pleasure in us? So, Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Father. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people, and he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and to punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them judgment written. This honor hath all the saints, hath all the Christians. We have this honor. We have authority. We can praise him, and we can take authority. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father. It is our joy to honor you this morning. So we're here to bless your holy name, exalt you, and lift you up. We thank you for this honor, Lord. We thank you for this honor. We can stand before you. We love you, Jesus. We worship you. It is our honor, Jesus, to exalt you. Bless your name. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. We exalt you, Jesus.
My God, my Savior.
sweet the sound. I once was lost, but now I'm found. A hopeless case, an empty place, not for grace. Amazing grace.
Praying for our Friday night men's meeting that Pastor Homer put on, and well, the Holy Spirit put it on. And there was a lot of men from other churches here, and just going to have him share. He shared what we understand to be the power of the new nature. And for us, that's foundation. But my God, it opened up some eyes in our community. And intimacy. And also, the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, three different things that you shared. But I'll let you share, Homer, just share with us some of the reports that you've gotten since then.
Amen. We had a great time. Great, great time. We can never take for granted. Don't ever, ever take for granted what we're taught here. It's so easy because we hear it a lot, but don't ever take for granted what's taught from this pulpit. Listen to me. Don't ever take it for granted what we're taught here. This is the doctrine of the apostles. This is a doctrine. Don't take it for granted, man. But anyway, we had a great great time. I was able to get some feedback, and I'm not gonna add one word or take away anything that was said. I had one, a Baptist young man, and I say that to let you know we're all brothers in Christ. That's what we try to settle in the spirit too. There's no denominations in Christ Jesus. That's a man-made thing. But I was able to talk to one Baptist brother, and he just said, I'm not adding nothing. I'm not going to, Lord, I don't want to add one thing to anything anyone said. He said, Homer, it was flat out amazing. That's what he said. I talked to another brother that's an elder, the head elder of Assemblies of God Church, and he said, me and my brother, his brother being a pastor of another church. That's why I'm saying, don't take what we're taught for granted. Don't take what we know for granted. He said, me and my brother talked about what happened the whole night. He said, I was so excited about the worship part. He said, I stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning worshiping God. Wow. Yeah, and that's exactly what he said. He said, Homer, we got to do this again. We've got to get another man's. That came from the outside. That came from them. And they were, and other men, and me, that's why I can't take for granted what we're taught, because to me, it was just another service with foundational truth. But to them that have never heard it, that have never heard what we're taught as far as the power of the born-again spirit, I took it for granted. But when I heard those men, the number one thing that I heard that I was blessed to hear the most, really and truly, before God, is when one man said there was an anointing there on the word. He said basically that's unheard of nowadays. He said the church just talks too much with no anointing. He said we got to do this again. I said I'll get back to you. Let me get with those, the co-laborer. Let me get with my pastor, and we'll do it again. All glory to the risen King. All glory to God. And I'm going to add this part in there. And I talked to Marty yesterday for about 15 or 20 minutes. And it amazes me. It flat out, I was in awe when I talked to Marty for about 20 minutes, how every single statement that he said, I trust people. I'll go to people that I know that commit their lives to the Holy Ghost. I trust people that pray in the Holy Ghost to a T. And we went back and forth. He talked the most because I wanted to learn from him. The things that we said to each other were every single statement, every single word, every single revelation were line upon line, equal in the spirit of what I was seeing and going through. And he encouraged me with his words. We're going to go forward. This is about Christ Jesus. This is about knowing the power of the rebirth. This is about remaining and abiding in the apostles' doctrine. That's why many were added to the church daily in the book of Acts. They didn't fabricate it. They didn't go into good logical ideas. They remained in the apostles' doctrine, which was the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, we're here to stay. This city is ours. These men were blessed. They were blessed. They were blessed. And I thank God for my prayer language. I thank God for what we've been taught through Pastor Bronk. And I thank God so, so, so much for the day that Barbara Fish introduced this body to Pastor Dave Roberson. He's just, yes, you might say he's just a man. Yes, he is. But he's an awesome, anointed man of God that has denied himself. He's taken up his cross, and he continues to follow God to this life. He's lost his life. He hadn't saved it. He's put his hand to the plow, and he's going forward, and he's not looking back. My friends, let's take the apostles' doctrine. Let's preach it. Let's live it, and let's win this town over. Amen? Amen. Pastor Bronk, that was a long 2 minutes, wasn't it?
Pastor Dave and Alan just went to Brazil. So they'll start and go for 10 days down there. Let's just lift them up right now. Could we do that? Father, we thank you for the work that you're doing in Brazil. Father, we're just asking you now to lay your hand upon them. Continue that ministry with power. Lord, we thank you that those ministers are being trained. And Father, we thank you for the power of the world to come. The power of the Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise and glory. Move through them. Magnify your name through them, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name.
Glory.
Amen. Why don't you get ready to just bring something down? Just real simple. We don't have to even give an exhortation with it, but why don't you just ask the Lord what He'd have you to give this morning. Father, we thank You for this opportunity. We're speaking life over Immokalee and everything that we need, both in the spirit and the natural, You give us. And we give You all the praise and glory. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen. If you're making out a check for $1 million or whatever it is, just Family Prayer Center. All right. Go ahead and prepare that. Hallelujah. A good friend of ours is here. The Limpers from Lakeland. Barbara, why don't you come and share a song? Wouldn't you like to have a song sung to you? If you had a song sung to you, you'd probably feel like giving all the more.
Well, it's good to be back. We were here, what, a couple months ago, was it? I don't know. Time just, when you get our age, you know. But yeah, Homer. Wow, what a difference in you, Homer. I mean, that's just, wow, that was worth the trip just to see Homer up here, just to worship in God. You know, the enemy tried to mess with your eyes, but he sure hasn't done a thing to your voice. It's fine. No problem. Hallelujah. Well, I just love hearing Candy get up here and read the Psalms. And the thing that stuck out to me, just like a sore thumb, was worshiping God on our beds. And so, even if you're on your bed, maybe you just couldn't even get out of bed, you can still worship Him on your bed. And then you get up. So, hallelujah. I really enjoy Psalm 103.
Yes, ma'am.
When I was on a bed one time, couldn't get up, I wound up getting up. But one thing that helped me get up was Psalm 103.
Yes, ma'am.
So I'll just sing that. With all of my heart, I'll praise You, Lord. With my whole heart, I'll bless Your holy name. I'll bless Your holy name. Let's do that again. With all of my heart, I'll praise You, Lord. With my whole heart, I'll bless Your holy name. Oh, Your holy, I'll bless Your holy name. And I'll never forget the good things You've done for me. No, I'll never forget the good things. You've forgiven all of my sin. You healed all my diseases. Redeem my life from death. Crown me with tender mercies. Fill up my mouth with good things. And renewed my youth like the eagle. Like the eagle. Yes, You forgave all of my sin. Healed every one of my diseases. Redeemed my life from death. Crowned me with love and tender mercies. Filled up my life with good things. And renewed my youth like the eagle. like, oh, just like the eagle. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So if you'd stand one more time, and if you have something to bring down, then you could bring it down. Real briefly, if you miss somebody, you could say hi, but that's about it. So go ahead and bring this down if you have an offering.
Worship the King.
All right.
We are in His presence.
Marty, bless this.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father,
yes.
We're truly a thankful people, humble before You in the light of what You've given us, and we truly do thank You for what we have here today, every bit of it. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Carl was trying to give me a testimony off the street. You can share it real quick, Carl. How many of you would like to hear about people getting born again? Okay. Come on, Carl. He's scared. But I'll take it away.
All right. We got a few over here. We got, I don't know if you want to raise your hand. Yeah, no. She got born again. She started praying in tongues. And two other, they started praying in the spirit as well. And where I work at is a treatment facility, but kids come in from like different charges. Some kids have like 30 charges, 30 felonies, or, you know, stealing semis, and some one kid stole like 4 semis, and, you know, they finally caught them. Some kids,
4 semis. How'd he drive them all?
I mean, just different things, and like all of them, you know, all of them, they know about pistols. All of them were shooting at people, doing different things, and I mean, that is one reason why I went towards school to get a towards the degree, because where the lifestyle where I came from and all my family and everything, and I was like, well, let me go to the place where I can be able to help those out. And what's so key is the kids with that type of mentality I love to be able to work with, because they're so focused on, and they have a hunger and a desire to do bad. That's what they've been taught. And nothing is gonna stop them. If they're in the game, you have game Sir 13. One kid came in, he's Mexican. He was like, he was second in command and everything. 12 years old, some of them 13, 16 years old. And you know, they did their thing. Whatever you say, I got it. You know what I mean? And if you be like, go kill these people, I'm gonna kill 5 of them and their parents. You know
Jesus.
What I mean? So they're committed. But if you can use
We're
that-
the real reporting.
If you can use that same mentality for the kingdom, oh man, it's amazing. And I remember Homer always used to tell me this, son, don't let anyone outwork you. Have the same mentality. He said, if you can be able to use that same mentality you have for football, for the kingdom, you know, it's gonna be on. And I always remember that. I didn't know what he was talking about, but I used that same line for all the kids. And I always tell them that. And the kid finally came in. This kid, he wants to be a surgeon. This Haitian kid came from like Miami area, and intelligent, very smart. And we just started talking to him. You know, he talks about the religion and everything, while I talk about, you know, spiritual things. You're a spirit that have a soul that lives inside of a body. You're like, what? What do you mean? And then we just start breaking it down where they can be able to understand. And they became born again, praying in tongues, and he's one of the leaders there. And a lot of other kids, you know, they wanted Christ. One of the Mexican kids came up to me. He was like, I heard you shared your testimony. He said, man, I want Jesus, what you talked about. And he accepted Christ right then and there. So, I mean, and more and more kids are coming in. This is a new facility, so, you know, it's
Praise
out there.
God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just worship You and glorify You for all these reports. For the men's report. For these reports on the street,
yes,
and everything that You're doing, You're bringing to pass everything that we've been praying for nearly 20 years.
Yes,
and Father, we thank You for the revival,
yes,
that rages in Your heart and it's in our heart.
Yes,
we thank You by Your grace.
Lord.
We're going to have this.
Yes,
we give You all the praise,
Lord,
and all the glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glorify You.
Yes, Lord.
We worship You, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. A couple of places. We'll keep you very long this morning. But 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy and just Paul's report. 1 Timothy and then we'll go to 2 Timothy just for one verse. And then we're going to go to Ecclesiastes. It's a place where we hardly go to, but some familiar things that you've heard other preach before and we've talked a lot about before in the past, but we're just going to remind you a little bit more this morning. Hallelujah. Be in prayer. Homer is going to be next Friday and Saturday in Texas. He's on the road now. So he'll be in Texas preaching in two services. So be in prayer for him. And we're fixing to, is that a good word? Candy and I are fixing to go to Africa. And please be in prayer for us. That's August what? 6th? I thought it was 8th, 7th, something in between. So be in prayer for us and pray for the church. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love." Have you ever heard a message around here on love? Patience, meekness. Fight the good fight. Everybody say the good fight.
Good fight.
Do you know that there's a good fight? And then there's not so good a fight. Really, the choice is up to you. One of the things that Homer labored on the most on Friday night was this, is choice. Once you got born again, you're sitting in here with the power of the new nature. That gives you a supreme ability to choose. And I'm finding out more and more that sometimes that choice is on a moment-by-moment basis. But aren't you glad that you do have the choice to fight? See, I've seen through the years, not just myself, I could include myself in this, but I've seen a lot of times where Christians were going through something. Now, there's two types of fights. There's the good fight, and then there's the fight where you begin to try to do it on your own. How many of you know He's not called you to do it on your own? His grace is absolutely sufficient. Paul said here, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Then he also, the second time he wrote to Timothy in Timothy 4:7, this was his testimony about himself. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." Hallelujah. "Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not," here he includes not himself only, "not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearings." Everybody say, that's you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you. And that's me. Hallelujah. Now, there's nothing really that can stop that. Nothing. God's not going to stop it. The devil can't stop it. He can't stop it. But there is only one that can. Guess who that is? Homer said, "My wife." I won't repeat that. No, it's not his wife. It's yourself. It's yourself. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. We've read some of this before. We're going to read it a little bit this morning again. Turn with me. Do you know, how many of you know where Ecclesiastes is at? Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Dead flies. Dead flies. Do you know what dead flies are? They're dead flies. Here, the writer of the Proverbs, the Mr. Wisdom, not Marty, but the Holy Ghost, he says this in verse 1. dead flies cause the ointment of the, and I can't even pronounce this really. How do you say it? Apocryphy? Carry, apocrycary, which means the perfume. Dead flies in the ointment of the perfume. It causes it to send forth stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Now we just testified this, that our reputation is this. We have this reputation that we're going to fight a good fight.
Yes, sir.
That's what we just acclaimed. That's what the Word of God says. We are those who fight a good fight. Paul said, I have this confidence in you. And he also said, I have this confidence in myself. That the fight that we fight is going to be a good fight. Now the proverb or the wisdom says this. Perfume, that sweet, beautiful savor, something beautiful. There's only, he says this. He made an analogy. He said, flies, dead flies, can get into something that's sweet and cause it to stink. Well, I don't want any stinking savor around me. But he says this, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to every one that is a fool, if the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. And this we've read before, and you've heard Gary preach on it, teach on it. But he says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun. It's an error which proceedeth from the ruler. He says, it's an error that proceedeth from the ruler. Now, here's the amazing part. He doesn't say what he's about to say is that the whole thing was set into effect by the one who takes the authority over the ruler. He says this thing was set into effect. The error proceedeth from the ruler. In other words, the one that should be ruling gave permission to somebody that shouldn't be ruling to take over a part of their life. He said this, this error proceedeth from the ruler. And this is the error. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich is set in a low place. And he said in verse 7, and this is what he was talking about, I have seen servants upon horses and princes, that's the ruler, those that are supposed to be in authority. He says, I've seen those rulers, I've seen them walking as servants on the earth. Now, what's the dead flies that can cause the ointment to stink? It's also part of what he's saying here, I believe. There's more for me to meditate on this, so I can tell you that. But this is what it's saying when it gets to verse 7. It says this. Here's the folly. The folly is that he saw this in the natural. He said, I saw that princes, those that were in authority, were actually, they were on the ground walking alongside a horse, which was going someplace, and there was something set on the horse other than themselves. And that was the servant. In other words, the servant that was supposed to be serving the ruler was on the place of authority, and the ruler was walking along beside the horse, just going wherever the servant went. He said in the earlier verse, he said, the folly was this, and it proceeded from the ruler. In other words, that one that was supposed to be in authority was walking along. Well, here's the whole analogy. He was saying this. That part of you where Christ dwells, how many of you know this? He really doesn't. Now, he takes over your soul because we're supposed to renew our minds by the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit's really not in your mind per se. He is because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit came to dwell in your spirit. That's where he's at. So all authority comes from out of your spirit. All authority comes from that place where the baptism of the Holy Spirit's at. And that's where you get all of your authority to conquer sin. That's where you get all of your authority to stand in a place where God's Word comes to you and renews your mind as your mind is renewed by the Word of God. Now, the only thing that can keep you from ever becoming that place where you're not fighting the good fight is that you, as the ruler, the one that's supposed to be in authority, that you're supposed to be riding on the horse. You're supposed to be riding on that white horse, listening to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit gives you the authority to live righteously and in through the mind and the wisdom of God. The only thing that can happen is if you allow that servant on the ground to ever stop and begin to talk to you enough that he asks you that if he can ride for a while, what's your answer going to be? No, no. But here is what this is what the man of wisdom said. He said, I've seen this. I've seen the transgression of authority at times where the servant that was supposed to be on the ground. See, you've got a body. God understands that. You've got a soul too. But that soul's supposed to be dominated by your born-again spirit. At all times it's supposed to be. I don't know if you know this or not, but just because you took authority over your thoughts and sometimes your stinking thinking. How many of you ever thought that just for a season you might have had some stinking thinking? It was flies in the ointment. But guess what? The authority that you took over it today, or yesterday, you're going to have to take over it today. Hallelujah. But we've been given more than enough of that authority through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God is calling every single one of you. Look at your hands. Go ahead and just look at them. Say to your hands, I say, these hands are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Hands, get ready. There's miracles that are coming. You're going to be used by God like never before. Hallelujah. You're the one that's in authority today. When he says to you, when the servant hears from, you know, your spirit really can't hear anything but from God. But when the servant, which is the soul, when it begins to hear anything other than the report of the Lord, don't let it on the horse. Don't let it in a place of authority. Don't let it in a place where it begins to speak to you and pull you down to a place where it says you cannot do what he says that you can do. The word says, let's go back to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. How many glad you came this morning? I'm just glad even for the worship it was good. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, familiar verse of scripture. Verse 3 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, doesn't mean that you're walking after the flesh. It means though you're living in a natural body, we do not war after the flesh. Well, how do we war? For the weapons of our warfare are what? They're not carnal, but are mighty through God. To doing what? Pulling down. He says, casting that mighty, he said, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing. Every high thing. Does that sound like a ruler on a horse? Does that sound like some or a servant on a horse? Something trying to take authority over your life? Immokalee's in revival. You're free from sin. You're free from error. You're free from all these things. God's called you for a purpose, and he's anointed your hands. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into what? Captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's where our authority is at. Our authority is in that place, though we're walking in, or walking in the flesh, or not, while we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In other words, the authority that we have comes from that place that's been given to us by the new nature. See, a bunch of you are coming to a place, and it's not too far in the future. You're going to realize like never before what your ministry is, what you've been called to. I bet when Homer gets back from Texas, we're going to get a string of reports like we never have before. He's going to go over there and teach them this message. He's going to go over there and teach them the power of Holy Ghost, praying in tongue, hour after hour after hour. Do you know that every moment that you spend with the Holy Ghost, He's teaching your born-again spirit how to say to anything that would try to ride above you on that horse, He's teaching your born-again spirit. He's saying to it, you're the one that's in authority. You can do this. You can go forward. And everything that I've promised you from the very beginning is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Yes. Well, He's called us for this purpose. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought, every thought, everyone to the obedience of Christ. What would it have to be disobedient to Christ? It'd have to be against this word. He's promised you all of everything that you are right here. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand with me. I glorify you. I glorify you. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. Magnify you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Give somebody a great big hug this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. You're blessed. Glory.